Hi there, and welcome to Verbal Voices. I'm Paul Lemley, Head of Partnerships at Verbal. We're an early stage startup building audio and podcasting technology for creators just like you. And as of this recording, we're working to launch our beta platform, which we cannot wait to introduce you to. This experimental podcast is a way for us to connect with audio creators of all stripes, from traditional interview podcast hosts, short and long form storytellers, business leaders using audio to engage their customers, poets, speakers, battle rappers, stand-up comics, audiobook authors, teachers, and more. Our new platform will cater to them all, and it's my responsibility to dive deep with them on their creative efforts. I want to find out how they've mastered their craft, what challenges they've faced and overcome, what tools they use to grow their audience, and of course, what they're excited about most within this fast-growing world of audio. On this episode, we have Mandy Balick, founder and CEO of the Ace Class Community and host of the Ace Talks podcast. Just listen to everything that's involved with her community. She has courses and labs to launch and grow a business, a private Facebook group, virtual meetups, Instagram lives, workshops, Q&As, mentor calls, a resource library, and physical events. And of course, an incredible podcast to keep the entire community engaged. While you listen, be sure to take note of the ideas, tips, tools, processes, challenges, and the types of wins that help audio creators build a highly engaged audience, and in Manny's case, a physical and digital membership community. So you ready to learn more? Let's jump right in. Mandy, how are you doing today?
So good.
Yeah?
Just feel good Friday. Vibes are good. I'm based out of Calgary, Alberta, and it's been a really rainy week, and so it's been a good like get shit done at home week, so I'm feeling good and ready for the weekend.
Good. Same here in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. A bit of rain, bit of sun, but lots of productivity, so
love it.
I want to introduce you to the Verbal Voices community, but I want to jump into where we find your community today, actually. We can talk about the history, but your community is massive. It encompasses so much, from live and digital events, Q&As, and mentorship opportunities, and courses. Could you just give us an idea of the scale of your community?
For sure. We've evolved so much. I mean, we've been running for about 3.5 years, and are currently based in Calgary. We're looking to expand to the US, actually, now that we have a global opportunity with online and virtual events happening, right? But we reach about 30,000 women currently through our social platforms. Our podcast, we have about 35,000 subscribers right now, which is awesome, and really hoping to grow that. So yeah, you mentioned we do a lot of really incredible things, and our community really represents a whole lot of driven and ambitious women that are, you know, looking to level up their businesses, their mindset, and their life.
Very cool. And what came first, the podcast or the community, or give us some context?
Yeah, there. Totally. We actually started as an event before we were a company, and then everything slowly started after that. So when I first built this company, or built the event, actually, we started by doing a brunch series. And I was at a place in my life where I was sick of having conversations about just the weather. And I wanted more meaningful relationships. I had this like bigger vision for my life, for my business, and who I wanted to be as a woman. But my inner circle at the time didn't really reflect that. And so I created an event that was based around real and vulnerable conversations for female entrepreneurs. And so we invited some female founders to come in and share their story. We put little conversation cards on the table and activated real conversation. If you came with a friend, we separated you. And it was a really cool experience. And you know, sold out that first event, sold out another event, sold out another event. And I started to feel those entrepreneurial butterflies that I've felt before. I've been an entrepreneur for 10 years, my third business. Nice. And I knew that this wasn't just an event, it was a movement. And this wasn't just a business. This was, you know, this was my why and my life's work. And so I started building from there and expanding my vision, talking to the community, finding out what these women needed. And, you know, the general consensus was the same. We all wanted to be this best version of ourselves. We all wanted real. We all felt alone in some aspect of our life. And so the community that I built has been completely based around supporting women to level up, as well as support, you know, and that, and level up in their business, but also the community around them, right? And like building that inner circle. And I've always believed you are the five people that you spend the most time with. And so I think that in the ACE community, you can find your mentor, your coach, your peer, your friend, your accountability buddy, all of that. You can find that within the ACE community. That event and building from there turned into events across the country. I got on planes to build that brunch. And then from there, you know, we built our conference. We built the podcast very early on, probably within the first year. The podcast was something really important to me. It's a space to amplify a message and to have really amazing conversations. And it's had a big impact on our growth as well. So one event to build the company, and then all these platforms have been developed as we continue to listen to what's going on in our community and how we can support and show up in the biggest way.
That's fantastic. And I want to read this from your site, because I think it's awesome, and it kind of segues into my next question is, you describe your podcast as a no bullshit, no holds barred, completely unfiltered interview show where we discuss all aspects of life, no matter how messy or chaotic, and a curated collection of vulnerable, real stories of women who inspire us on the daily. Now, you have two episode types. You have an interview where you talk to one or two individuals and you go deep and find those vulnerabilities. And then you have episodes where it's just you talking about a specific topic. How do you approach editorializing your podcasts in two different formats? A lot of times podcasts are just one format. It's an interview, or it's a, you know, fiction storytelling, or it's just one individual talking about the news of that day. How did you picture editorializing it and working through those different formats as a new podcaster?
Oh man, I just play everything by feel. I didn't have a plan. to be totally honest with you, I was like, yes, podcast. Okay, I am going to do interviews. This is going to be an interview show. And you know, if you go way back, like I think I'm at episode 58 or something like that now, over the last 2 years. If you go back, the very first episode I did was me, and it's a solo show, and I'm sharing a little bit of my backstory and what got me to that moment. But then there was about 42 episodes of me talking to other people, and I was afraid to do a solo show. So the interviews just felt really natural, because our community has always been about celebrating other women and hearing their stories and bringing in these experts. So, you know, so we can really like go deep on these amazing conversations and talk to these amazing women. And then I felt called to start sharing my story a little bit. And I've really, really enjoyed doing that. The first one felt really awkward, and I like overly scripted it, and and now I just wing it. I literally just get on and I turn my mic on and I see what happens. And I love those little mini episodes, right? Little bite size mini episodes where I can just jam for 15, 20 minutes. But truly I play everything by feel. And I have, the only outline that I have is I launch a new episode on Tuesdays, and whatever feels good for that Tuesday, I do.
So you keep to that schedule. I think that's another solid tip that new podcasters may need to focus on, or at least the one thing to focus on is consistency. So it's nice to hear that that's what you keep yourself to. It's like you said, the only thing you keep yourself to.
No, for sure. Consistency builds trust. And like, if you're building a community around anything, it needs to be based around trust, and showing people what to expect from you is really solid. And I guess for me, like the consistency between my content, whether it's an interview with someone else or me, is I'm in my values. I'm keeping it real. I'm being vulnerable. I'm sharing what's true to my heart. And generally that's also what's going on with my community. And I attract women like myself. So
Very cool. Well, let's talk about the interview style episodes that you do. You want to dive deep with these individuals and set them at ease. A lot of times for interview podcasts, it's very short form, and I don't have much time to set you at ease and for us to be vulnerable. How do you approach setting your guest at ease, making sure that they're aware of, you know, the discussion you're having, onboarding them even if you don't know them much? How do you approach guest interviews and making sure that you get the most out of that interview?
Yeah. Oh man, I know. And it depends on the experience of your guest, right? If they're I don't need any prep in advance. I can just jump on. Some people need questions a week in advance. They want to think about it and go deep, right? So I just consider that everyone's probably in that second camp to make sure everyone feels comfortable. And whether they ignore my emails or not, that's up to them. But I have a Google form sheet that I've created, which is a pre-screening, get to know you, FAQ, everything, right? So I send it as a Google form, and it tells them a little bit about what to expect, what platform we're going to be speaking on, about how long, who they're going to be interviewed by, a little bit about my style of interview and what to expect from me. And then I also say, I have 5 questions on there that ask them, hey, how would you like me to refer to you? You know, what's your title? Do you go by a pronoun? All those things. I want to have those things in check first so that I can address this person properly in a way that's going to make them feel respected and safe. And then I also ask if there's any boundaries. I set it up that, hey, I'm someone that really likes to go deeper. I'm going to ask 3 layers deeper when you answer a question. Are there boundaries? Because then I know, hey, I'm going to avoid that conversation. If we get to that question, I won't go deeper there, right? And so I've never actually had a bad experience with that because I've set that up from the very beginning. And so that's been really great. And then I ask them in that pre-screening questionnaire, I say, do you want the questions in advance? Yes or no. And that's so valuable because that tells me how far in advance I need to prep for them. And if I need to send those questions, and then I've got to prepare for potentially some feedback back from them and have to adjust, right? And so that's more of a longer lead preparation for that interview. But setting that questionnaire up has been really impactful for me, and helps me just get right into it so that you can get on the phone and get right to the good stuff.
And what about post interview? I was just talking to a podcast host today about his process, and he doesn't release for weeks, and he sets it up with the interviewee to let them know that, hey, this won't be published for a month or two. He views his episodes as very evergreen too. How do you approach the post interview, both in a marketing point of view as well as, you know, with your guest?
Yeah, it really depends. It really depends if we're talking about, right now during COVID times, we're talking about things in real time. People are jumping on. I'm like, hey, I need someone on mental health. So we're going to publish this on Tuesday and we're recording on Monday. Prior to this, I would be batching content, and I would actually have 2 days a week or 1 day a week where I would do maybe 4 interviews back to back. And I would set it up in the same way. Don't mention anything seasonal specific. This will be put in the future. Don't tell me a promo code or a new launch. We're not talking about that, right? But we're going to have a different call to action that is evergreen. And I think that's important because when people are stumbling across your podcast, it's not necessarily going to be in real time. They're going to discover it way in the future. And so thinking about that as you're structuring your conversations is, how can this be relevant for a longer period of time? It's going to be more valuable for your interview guests as well as for your podcast as well. So right now is a little bit of a different scenario. However, you know, the content is certainly valuable in the future. So
sure.
That really just depends.
And how do you approach the podcast? You said you use the podcast heavily to engage the community. Let's dive deep into that specifically. And you just mentioned in this circumstance, in COVID, you're talking about mental health. You're talking about different topics that are really actionable to help people in this very circumstance. What other ways do you use the podcast to engage the community, to provide more resources and education? Can you talk about your strategy for engagement specifically in regard to the podcast?
Very much so. The podcast is a really great platform for lead generation for the community and a really great discovery tool for our community. We have a lot of people that have discovered our events, our conferences, our online courses, all through the podcast. And that's been really amazing. So whether that's through people sharing or just, you know, searching the platform by keywords and things like that. It's been really, really awesome. It's a part of our strategy, definitely for every time we have a new launch. And as well, every month we pick a theme in our community, which is, you know, right now we're actually talking about the theme of reinvention. And so we incorporate some of our events and our online content and our podcast and our courses and things like that all to align. So really, like, within the course of a month, you're getting content from all these different platforms that are just building on one another, right? And so we really bring that theme in and elevate that conversation and go deeper on it. Show notes seem to be a really great traffic as well, bringing people to your website. And if you're providing tools and downloads, it's a great way to take people further into engagement with you and get their email address in exchange for a tool or a resource. And we're seeing a lot of conversion that way. So
that's interesting to hear, especially because one of our earliest partnership strategies has been show notes sponsorship. We believe show notes are an untapped resource as an advertiser, but also as a podcaster or community host, and also sponsorships for revenue. High engagement. Anytime you mention your show notes, they're going to go to the site to read more. If you have a guest, they're going to go look for their link somewhere, oftentimes the show notes. So we think show notes is a really untapped sponsorship opportunity for podcasters, and it's low maintenance. A lot of times the advertiser just has a quick snippet, like us. We have two sentences and maybe a link to our site, and it's super, super low maintenance and easy to use and monetize. So sorry to plug that, but we think it's a blue ocean opportunity for advertisers. Let's talk about your sponsorship strategy. Do you do any sponsoring of the podcast with your community, or is your revenue model all based on growing the membership rather than hawking sponsors to your membership?
You know what? It's actually all internal, like what we currently do. And I know we've worked with you as a show notes partner, and that was one of the five times, I believe, that we've actually had a sponsor on our page. And I've had people offer, and it has to be really, really aligned for me. And there's certainly an opportunity. However, we really love to talk about our value and what our membership looks like and what our events are looking like, right? And how people can go deeper with our community. And so for me, I'm very much so a values person. And so, of course, like, there's opportunity there, but I like to ensure that there's 100% alignment, because my talk about trust, right? How to build a community is with trust. And the minute that something feels out of alignment with the conversation that you're having, or the mission or the vision or the values that you have of the company, someone is going to feel like, oh, that wasn't what I expected, right? And so I only say yes to really aligning organizations to partner with us, and otherwise it is our internal strategy.
Makes perfect sense. So let's pivot to the last question here about what's missing in the podcasting space. What are the tools or strategies or challenges that you're facing as a podcast host and community owner that might help facilitate more engagement, more viral loops to grow an audience and lead generation? What's missing?
I think there's tons of information out there, right? It's just, we're all time poor to put it together. I think that there's so much possible and so much that you can do in creating loops, right? Like, you should always be intentional with everything that you're putting out there and everything that you're doing, that there's a reason for it. Like, people don't understand how much time it takes to put a podcast up. It's not the 45-minute interview. It's not the 30 minutes. It's the time in preparation and researching and preparing the questions and sending the pre-Q&A and doing the marketing and all of that. And so without a proper strategy to back up, like, what's the revenue model behind this? And like I said, like, you know, as a follow-up question, sponsorship is one of the revenue models, or making sure that you're actually bringing people into your membership or selling your own products or your own courses or whatever that is. And so really, I think that what was missing for me at the start was thinking about it through that bigger lens and the bigger picture. And so some education around that. Now that's all out there. I'm the type of person that I'm like, oh, I want to start a podcast. And then I just go do that. Right. So my advice for anyone that's just starting out is do the research and think about what is the big picture of this. Is the advertising model going to be important to you? What are you hoping that your listeners are going to do? What action do you want them to take with you? Are you just looking for a big subscriber base, or, you know, do you want to get their email address, right? So just thinking right. intentionally about all those steps is really important.
Makes perfect sense and great advice. Thank you. Well, the last thing I want to do is open up the mic to you. Tell us a little bit more about what you're working on. I know there's an event coming up that was moved. So highlight that and let people know how they can find you.
100%. We have so much happening in our community right now, and our in real life events have turned to virtual events very seamlessly. Our community is very much so alive online. It's allowing us the opportunity to scale bigger outside of Canada and to support more women to level up their business, their mindset, and their life. And our in real life conference that was supposed to be happening in April is shifted to November. We're gathering in Lake Louise, 200 plus women, inspirational speakers, like life-changing experience, where we really, oh my God, we're going to really appreciate coming together in community then. But this opportunity right now has also activated our online education and how we are showing up for women to take the next step in their business. And I have built a playbook that really helps build that actionable plan and get more confidence in running your business. And so if you're a podcaster that's also an entrepreneur, I'd love to invite you to check out theaceclass.com and find out how we could potentially support you take your business to the next level.
Fantastic. Thanks for that. And we really appreciate your time and can't wait to partner some more on some ways to engage your community and get more people podcasting. So thank you for your time.
Love it. Thank you so much for having me, Paul.
Thank you so much for listening to Verbal Voices. If you're a podcast lover, head over to verbal.com. That's VURBL.com and peruse our growing list of podcast reviews. If you're an audio creator, reach out to me directly at paul@verbal.com or tweet at us at @getverbal. Until next time,